like an annoying laugh. That's my problem. So I try to keep it low. But...
yeah, I feel like you laugh
to skip it because I'm an impatient kind of guy, but I
welcome to the Off Topic Podcast, episode 154. I'm Koba the Gorilla,
and I am H today,
and we have a very special guest, the one and only, the king of monsters in all the SoCal area, Mr. Gray. Gray Corpse Effects.
I wouldn't call myself the king, but I appreciate it.
You're the prince, I guess, right now, but you're going to be the king.
You're the king because you're with Off Topic, man.
Yeah.
So we did HorrorCon a couple months ago.
Right.
It's a short film that you're doing, right?
Yep.
And you're staying busy right now. A little background. We have known each other for how long?
5 years.
5 years, right?
If not more.
Nah, like 5 years.
So. I met you in 2020, so at least four.
Yeah, definitely.
Without getting into specifics, you used to be my boss. That's kind of crazy, right?
Basically.
And with him and too. And
then, yeah, we all worked together at one point.
The fun life of retail, yeah.
Yeah, not so much, but.
But
yeah.
We're fucking doing the thing now. So
we're living a dream.
Basically, it's a long time coming, and we're finally doing our shit, you know, we're all in, as people say, you know.
We're in the ground.
So it's kind of cool that we're finally able to do this, even though we've talked about it for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel like I had more fun at HorrorCon than I thought I would, honestly. How'd you feel
about it? It was fun that you were discovering, like, new artists. People. We didn't know it was that big of a world, you know. We just thought it was, like, the people in Hollywood, but then when we saw, like, entrepreneurs or, like, DIYers, as you call them, like doing their own shit and being successful.
And that's the
cool.
best part. Like, you just don't know what to expect in these types of instances. And you guys got to experience it firsthand because you did play a hand in helping out with set it up and everything. So,
yeah, we did. Eric has like a really good ability to just make you work for him, and then you just have that loyalty for him. And it's like, all right, cool. We're tearing down walls, which is literally something we did.
Well, I was expecting a paycheck, to be honest.
Yeah. You can email my lawyer about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's coming. Everyone gets paid, right? One way or another.
It's all good. But yeah, that shit was cool. For me, that stood out about the whole community, about like the horror film genre, is that not only are like the actors the stars, but also like people like you, like the makeup artists, the practical effects people, whatever the fuck
the
you want to call it, right?
What's called, I guess movie lovers wouldn't really take too much into consideration, but you guys do play a big role when it comes to films or any artistic way right there.
Yeah, where I feel like if you're watching a Marvel movie, nobody's like, oh, look, that's the CGI director for that Marvel movie or whatever the fuck, right? Whereas like with a horror movie, like guys with a horror genre, it's like, oh, that's the guy that made this monster. That's the, you know, like people like mark out for that and they see it and they're like, oh shit, like that's the guy. And I think that's like what separates that fan base from other fan bases, where they get really deep into the behind the scenes part.
Yeah. And what's cool is that a lot of people really don't know, like you said, they don't see the behind the scenes like appreciation, but the collaborating between the artists, the directors, the actors, it's really, really cool because we have a ton of fun, you know, what we call backstage. And, a lot of times in these events, yeah, you get these people that are like really prideful, like, oh yeah, I made that monster, you know, but more so the fans are discovering, oh, no way, I had no clue you did that, because most of the credit goes to the directors and the actors.
Yeah.
But there are tons and tons of talented people, not just makeup artists, special effects, you know, artists, sculptors, painters. There's a whole group of people that just punch hair into things that, you know, bring the things to life.
Yeah, that's definitely, I feel like, is it a lost art? Am I correct in saying that? Is it something that's going away?
I don't think it's a lost art. I think there's a huge appreciation for it, but I think there's a lot of room to get more exposure to it and definitely get some, let's call it some more dividends to these, you know, types of groups, because there's tons of unions out there. Should they exist? I can't say they're good in some senses. I could also say they're bad in some senses, but that, you know, that goes along with everything.
Mm-hmm. With everything, but, yeah, 100%.
I think 100% the artists should definitely be taken care of, especially the ones behind the scenes, you know, making everything come to life.
I see, yeah. Right. And what made you want to be that guy where you're making it come to life? Like, what did you see? What show was it? What horror movie was it that you saw and you were like, oh, shit, I got to be the guy that makes that happen one day?
So for me, I've loved horror movies for a long time. Chucky, like we talked about at HorrorCon, was one of my favorites. Yeah, I have a Chucky doll in here I got from Trick or Treat Studios. Right, yeah. It's one of my prized possessions at this point. But
I see it right there, yeah.
You know, I have a huge... like passion and care for that film, and I really appreciate Kevin Yeager, Jeff Yeager, the people that created the characters and worked on the characters. But for me, the one film that really stood out where I was like, I gotta do this is cool, is Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, you got it right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it right here. But one of the like best movies back, you know, then, I thought, in my opinion, because you had these clowns that weren't your typical, you know, clown you saw at the fair, at the carnival. These things were messed up. They had deformed faces, foreheads, and then the kills, I think, were the craziest part, right? That was the coolest part.
Yeah, that's the best part of any horror movie.
Have you guys seen the film?
I haven't watched it.
I have not seen the film. I know of it, though. Okay, I know it's a cult classic.
I'm going to give you that, and then you can bring it back to me. Right?
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. I really will watch it, honestly.
It's a must, right? Some of the kills in there, like, they get wrapped up in cotton candy and taken up in, like, spaceships. Yeah. It's so insane, but it's awesome.
I know you fuck with horror a little more than I do, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I've been watching more films from horror, I could say that.
Yeah. How long do you remember when you first knew that Grayson did shit like this?
Probably the second year I knew you.
Yeah.
I think you had taken a break. I might be wrong, but like you took a break and then you came back hard, right?
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that. So when I first, in like you were asking me, you know, what movie set this off. Another thing that kind of set me off in that direction was going to like horror events like Not Scary Farm and Horror Nights, right? So going there, I was like, oh, this is fucking cool. I have to do this. And I think I got started by making haunted houses and jumping into it. But I started with haunted houses, and then I started trying to make my own mask for the haunted houses. And then eventually I was like, you know what? Like doing the mask stuff is cool, but like I want to take a break. So for a long time, I was known as Skeletal Corpse, and I was going like show to show, Midsummer Scream, Scare LA, Spook Show. I don't think exists anymore, but it was a really cool event.
Okay.
But that's where I was like, I need to find something different, take a break, and that's kind of where, yeah.
Where's that old name come from? Skeletor. I know Skeletor, what that is, but like, where'd you get that name
from? So it's Skeletal Corpse.
Skeletal,
It was, you know, I was a fan of like metal and thrash metal. And, not to like buy it off of Cannibal Corpse, but it was more of like, oh, this sounds cool. Right? Back then it was like, what sounds cool? And
what sounds hardcore?
Exactly.
I feel crazy. That same way with, we were just listening to Knock Loose Getting Ready here, you know? Because we get ready differently on the Off-Topic Podcast.
Yeah,
right,
we
here.
Don't cry.
We listen to heavy metal. We get that shit going. But I fucking saw an interview. There's an old band, an old Mexican heavy metal band. They're super heavy. They're called Brujeria.
Uh-huh.
And they're all exactly, right? And then they have like their album names are some of the most vicious. It's like Matando Güeros, like it's like fucking super violent. And then like when the guy talks in the interview, Juan Brujo, rest in power, he's like, oh, like I just wanted like something that like sounded scary, you know?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. And you know what? Like a lot of my roots stem from that. So what a lot of people don't know is I played in a thrash metal band from like 15 all the way to like 21. So I was playing metal for a long time, and that's what it was, is we listened to bands like Death, Morbid Angel, like all these really crazy bands that had like fucking cool like album covers. Like Morbid Angel had all these Twisted Demons on the cover.
Yeah.
Death had like all these zombie-ish, you know, characters in the front.
Winds of Plague had fucking sick album covers. You remember Winds of Plague? They would have like the werewolf monsters versus the heavily metal knights, bro.
Yeah.
Fucking sick, bro.
Winds of Plague, you know who the singer is?
I forget who it is. Remind me.
But his name's John.
Yeah.
And he was actually one of the Not Scary Farm designers for all the haunted houses.
Oh, shit.
So he's heavy in the industry, too, which is crazy, and it's fucking cool because it shows that connection of, like, metal.
Yeah.
Metal and the haunted horror industry.
Yeah. Right? No, it's definitely intertwined, and now you see it everywhere where it's like, even rappers will use like the heavy metal font now,
right?
And they use the
even,
you know,
like the cross upside down.
The cross upside down, like that shit, fucking comes from heavy metal. And I think people forget how influential it is in today's culture.
Not only that, like, we came from a time where there was no band generator, right? Band name generator and all that. We had to get creative, and we were like, all right, you know, this is something nobody else is using. Let's do it, you know, and everyone.
It was like a free-for-all, you know, for a bit where everybody was just trying out new things. And that's what came out.
100%. And then it was always so funny when it was like, oh, what's your band's name? And it was like a hardcore fucking band name. And it's just like some quiet, nerdy guy that like came up with it. And it's like not even have to do with nothing.
It's just so funny.
So heavy metal definitely influenced your music in general.
Definitely, right? Absolutely. I'm telling you, music and art, I think, play hand in hand heavy. And you see that all the time. And I see it to this day where makeup artists are collabing with musicians. Like, it's just the way it goes, right? There's a lot of opportunity to really share an art there.
Yeah, definitely. No, I fucking feel you. And
growing up, were you like an artistic person? And we actually had a question similar to that regarding that. Cole, do you have a question right here?
Yeah.
So those from one of our big off-topic soldiers.
Yeah, it's time for fan questions, fan questions. It's a cholo. I got a question here from Alex from Covina. So shout out to Alex. Loyal off-topic soldier. He said, did you first have to learn how to draw monsters before you started creating them, or do you kind of just started making them?
So, you know, what's funny is, like, I loved lots of, like, big companies out there, Universal, Disney, you know, and no matter what I drew, it could be something quote-unquote cute or, like, normal-looking. Yeah. Everything I drew is, like, scary-looking. So from, like, the beginning, and I think I've always been drawing, I think in... like first or second grade, I was drawing dinosaurs and they look like demented, like dragons. They weren't like a normal dinosaur. And then in high school, same thing. Like I was always getting in trouble drawing in my books in school.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So drawing was I guess a big part of it, and it's always been like some kind of like scary kind of horror drawing.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, he's right. And it kind of did start with drawing first.
Yeah.
Just like tattoo artists, right? Like they draw the fucking tattoo, they stencil it before they actually do it.
Yeah. It's crazy because I thought like I was pushing to be a, you know, what they call a 2D artist for a long time, and then 3D started coming in, and I was like, okay, maybe this is what I'm going to do for a long time. Little did I know I was going to start picking up sculpting when I was about 17, and the sculpting part of it, learning that, actually made me a better drawer. So it was like hand in hand too. So
okay, I see.
During that process, what was the hardest thing to learn, like in sculpting?
So, and it's for everyone, anyone that wants to get into this craft.
Yeah, because not everybody knows.
Yeah, I think anyone that wants to do it, and I wish I would have like started a lot earlier, is like focus on the anatomy, right? Everything out there has some sense in it, right? It's not just some crazy splatter of a design. It has some type of anatomical shape, right? Most monsters reference some kind of like really cool animal. Like you have dinosaurs, obviously, that... they use dragons as reference for stuff like that. But yeah, absolutely focus on anatomy first. That was one of the most challenging things because everyone knows what a human looks like. So if you're going to sculpt a human and it's off a little, like people will notice. And I think the funny thing is people are calling it like Timu or Wish versions of things. Yeah.
Was there somebody that you really like gained knowledge from or somebody you looked up to during that process?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So
or a couple people.
So for me, I was always like in the like haunted houses world, and I started going to the events, and one of the big events I actually attended was Monster Palooza. But I met one of my heroes because I love masks. His name's Andrew Freeman, and I actually have one of his pieces in here.
Oh nice.
But it's a really cool like gator mask. Yeah. His idea of like taking mask making to a whole nother level, they started making silicone masks and really really changed the game. Like on that, he was the one that really like stood out to me, and I had a special moment because I met him at one of the shows and was like, hey, check out this zombie mask I did. I that zombie mask is gone now, but definitely some anatomy issues there and stuff like that. I showed it to him and he was really cool about it, and he's like, hey, you know, like if you want to come by, come down to the shop. And in my head, I'm no fucking way. Like, this is fucking awesome, right? Yeah. So I actually had the opportunity to actually go down there, and he was really good to me. He taught me, like, a lot of the ropes, and, the rest is history.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's fucking sick.
Yeah.
You know what I always popped for was, like, seeing concept art?
Right.
I used to have a PSP, and I used to have a Star Wars Force Unleashed, and I always popped for it because there was, like, concept art you can collect in the game. And you could see, like, oh, this is how this Rancor was supposed to look. Like a monster, right?
Yeah.
And then this is how it ended up looking. And I think it's so cool that, like, just like anything, right? Like a process with a story you're writing, or even like a recipe for a meal. Like people put their own twist. It starts with an idea, and then it's the finished product. And I fucking love seeing concept art. I it's so sick. I like it. Like even in like I'm a big pro wrestling fan. I love seeing like, oh, this was the concept art of like how the Undertaker was supposed to look. And,
yeah.
And I think that's like fucking sick. Like I love all that shit. There's a lot of artistry, and we mentioned that it comes from music also, inspiration like that. Obviously, it came from movies and TV shows. Do you ever see it coming from strange places, like dreams or anything else? Or is it always like a form of media that you see it come with? Or
so I can talk kind of personally on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's crazy, right? Because, yeah, sometimes it could be anything. It could be something you see out, like, in the world, and you see, like, some crazy animal, and it just inspires you, right?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Some incident, you know, something happening, like a crash or a collision, something crazy, right?
Yeah.
But on my side of it, sometimes I do have these, like, really weird, cool dreams, and I wake up, and I'm like, that's fucking awesome. I gotta write that down. Like, not to bring it up too early, but that's where a lot of, like, my newer, you know, filmmaking, writing, short film stuff that I'm working on, a lot of that stuff is stemming from that, and it's really exciting because your dreams are crazy, man. Like, you can think of the wildest things out there, and there's no explanation
for them. At the end of the day, like, what did Freud say? Like, oh, it's a... They're like internal thoughts that you think, but then there's also dreams where you're like,
they make kind of sense. Yeah.
They make sense. And also the ones that don't fucking make sense, you know?
Yeah. But those are the fun ones.
Yeah.
Right?
Those are the fun ones.
You're like, how in the fuck? But that's kind of cool. That's a good idea.
I can wake up, take a piss.
Yeah.
Go back to sleep and resume the dream. Can you do that sometimes?
No, but I've had the ability to control dreams.
I've experienced both of them. Yeah. I've experienced that one more where you say, like, you fucking, like, wake up and then you go back to sleep and you're, like, continuing on that same dream.
Yeah.
But then I always fear, like, there's going to be a bad outcome to that dream. I don't know. Like, something like falling down or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like a bad ending.
Yeah. Growing up, I would dream about or have nightmares about monsters.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The monsters.
What do they look like?
You know what?
They
were from a Nintendo 64 game. And I should have been ready with it with this, name of the game.
Yeah, it's all right. We can put it in the back pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, but
you bring up a good point though, because we talked about influence from music and all that shit. I think video games have also been so influential with the actual genre.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Now you see,
like, we'll find it.
Now you see games like, I don't know, like Resident Evil, where like it's more based on the horror, you know? And
oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, and then like it's just so iconic with stuff. Were you a big video game guy?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. So, like, Call of Duty, when Worlds collided and you had George Romero and the zombie game.
That was the Call of the Dead.
Yes.
Yeah. George Romero, I just fucking binge-watched Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and I did Return of the Living Dead, which is my favorite of the Dead fucking franchise. I just fucking love Return of the Living Dead because, like, those are the zombies that you can't kill.
Yeah.
And they're just so fucked in that movie, and they get even more fucked as the movie goes. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is, like, how crazy they really thought these Resident Evil characters. I remember playing the game, like, the original PC game, and just being fucking scared to enter the mansion. Like.
Yeah, definitely. But, and then, like, the Mr. X would pop out and shit.
Yeah.
Some games have always been pushing
the boundaries. Oh, I found it. And I found a specific monster I actually had nightmares of. The game is called Nightmare Creatures.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, look, and this is a monster.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
Nightmare Creatures.
It gives like alien bloods.
Yeah, so that was like the gameplay. You were like in the fucking
Yeah, and graveyard. It's funny because that's not even that like high definition,
compared
you know, graphics.
Yeah.
And it was still cool.
Yeah.
You know?
For a 4-year-old like me, 3-year-old back then.
Because when you're younger, it fucking speaks to you.
Yeah.
And I remember also thinking like, how fucking crazy must it have been when you were a kid and a game like Doom came out, and it's like you're fucking killing demons and there's dead space marines on the floor and there's fucking pentagrams and like demonic shit.
Yeah.
Back then, like, ESRB ratings on games were not even a fucking thing. Imagine like you fucking buy your kid the Doom game and then there's like satanic shit, fucking monsters with horns and like fucking, you know, like that's fucking insane, bro. Like how fucking heavy metal is that shit, bro?
It's
well,
crazy.
We went through that actually, all of us, I guess.
Yeah. Parents keep your kids away type shit.
Yeah, dude. Like I remember like fucking that is my favorite cover ever, is like just the Doom cover of like the Space Marine with the demons piling on top of him, and he's just shooting them with machine guns. Like,
yeah, that should be your next tattoo.
Fucking hard, bro. I was gonna do it on this hand, but this fucking idiot put that shit.
Yeah, there's and even like games today, like there, we have. I think we've come so far that I was playing a PC game called Mortuary's Assistant, and it's like you're going through and working on like dead bodies, and demons are randomly popping up, and you've got to like cast out the demons. I'm like, this is fucking cool. This is some crazy shit. This is stuff I wish I had around when I was like
growing
up. You know? Yeah, yeah. Do you ever feel like when you know as we get older, we have responsibilities? Like, it's hard to keep that wonder, like that childlike wonder of like getting creativity from these kind of places where like, fuck, you wish you could play all these games, for example, but you're like, and have fuck, the time. I got shit to do.
I think like that happens a lot, but I think that's where the hunger for creating stuff also like exists too, because you have this inner desire to engulf yourself in that world still, you know?
I guess it never goes away, and you fulfill your needs anyway.
Definitely.
I'm fucking pumped about all this shit, definitely. And the games thing, the last thing I'll mention about the video game scene, I also think Mortal Kombat was real fucking crazy. Also.
Dude, that was insane.
Yeah, the ripping throats out, the ripping hearts out, and all that shit.
That was
like you said, get the anatomy right. Even though it was like fucking Nintendo era,
fucking kicking their heads off.
Yeah, at that time, it's like, oh shit, that looks fucking rad, you know? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, actually, it's funny that you're saying that. I don't have it up on the wall, but I got to do this mask for HorrorCon. Yeah. And I actually took inspiration from one of the girl, like, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, really?
So I did the whole, like,
mask. Oh, the Melina? Yeah. I recognize that shit.
But it's funny, though. Like, all that stuff still plays, like, a heavy influence on me.
That's what I'm saying. I think video games are so fucking sick, bro.
Right.
Hell yeah, bro.
How do you think the industry of sculpting, or in general, where you're in, what do you think is going to be the next new thing? Because if you think about it, in the 70s, it was like demonic things. In the 80s and 90s, it was a lot of ghost creatures. And then coming into the 2000s until now, it's zombies. What do you think is going to be like the next thing that people are going to want to be creating, or what's it called? Design. Basically, design or create something new, something to play with. Like, do you think it's going to be robots? Do you think, or werewolves?
What
do you think is the next new thing?
I wouldn't knock like the robot stuff. Obviously, everything's changing, right? And everyone has their eyes on AI and robots. Like, I was watching those TikTok videos of like Kai Cenat and his Mafia-thon with like the robot, and then it comes out that it's a fake robot, you know. But what if it was real? And how far are we from actually having like real robots out there?
Yeah, like some Black Mirror.
And are you looking forward to like creating those monsters and giving your own image into it?
Yeah, see, and that's the beauty of it, right? Like you can literally create anything. You think of Back to the Future; they only thawed out to about like 2014 or something. Yeah. I don't remember, but like, how far can we really think? Yeah. Like, we're talking about UAPs nowadays, right? Coming from the ocean and all this weird shit, like. What if there's some like crazy space movies? It's funny that you're saying that, because I was actually just thinking about this the other day. Like, Call of Duty, they're saying that the games are like blowing out because Fortnite had 14 million views and nobody really cares about war movies because there hasn't been a lot of stuff like that. But what if there was like a Call of Duty UAP movie or UAP game, right? Yeah. That shit would be insane. Are you fighting aliens from under the sea?
Yeah, and they've done the, even Call of Duty jumped on the, they jumped on the Nazi zombies theme.
Yeah.
They did the aliens type of zombies. They did it in Call of Duty Ghosts.
And if you guys do it, I just want some kind of sponsor. That's all.
Yeah, I know. We have to sponsor us, fucking Activision or Treyarch. Mm-hmm. Hit us up, bro. We do love video games. And speaking of sponsors, we're gonna keep these lights on, bro. We have a lot of cool concerts and events coming up. You know, football is real big right now. So if you guys are ever shopping at SeatGeek, when you're checking out on that promo code spot, go ahead and put Off Topic Podcast and save yourself $20 for those tickets. We get a little kickback and we keep the lights on this place and we keep making this podcast that you guys love. Code Off Topic Podcast, get $20 off on the SeatGeek checkout.
It's on the bio.
Hell yeah. Link is on bio, baby. We're sponsored, bro.
Nice.
Sponsored, bro.
Yeah, of course.
More of them, you know?
Yeah,
I want more. I want more money, dude.
You guys have to keep watching. We got to keep sharing, right? And it's the beauty of podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. You get to talk to these really interesting people from like opposite ends of the world, right? Yeah. So that's what's
awesome. Is there a podcast you could mention them.
Yeah.
Podcasts that you like listening to, or that's kind of into the horror theme? Or
there's a couple. So... For me right now, I mean, everyone watches Joe Rogan, right? And that's awesome stuff. And I like how, like, contradictory it is, like, with everything he talks about. But there's some really cool, like, artists, too. Like, if you like this kind of stuff, Chet Czar has a podcast with a few others. Like, really cool horror artists that does some awesome paintings. Like, you need to check stuff like that out if you want to listen to this. And just keep pushing it, right? I think the coolest part is that we got to connect and talk more in front of you guys about horror. So the best way to do it is continue to jump on supporting some of us in, you know, the horror industry.
The artists behind that. Yeah,
right.
Before we're all writing scripts with fucking AI and all this bullshit.
Yeah, hopefully not.
How do you feel about that AI thing?
It's a love-hate relationship. I think it can be used for good, but I think it should be more of a sprinkle, like, on the dessert, right?
It can't be one whole. Is already, but. For sure, it takes some magic off of what the real monsters should look like or characters.
How cool is it to think, like, oh, that guy did that? You know, you're going to lose that. You're not going to get that with
even then, AI, I might sound old, but I just think AI doesn't match what they're supposed to look like. So even the blood, sometimes it's just not as real as
I know it's coming, but I dread the day that they say, oh, we're making an all AI film.
I'm pretty sure it'll come, but how good will it be?
Yeah. When I'm saying AI, I mean not like CGI effects. I mean like writing a script with AI.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like AI. The computer mind itself generates a whole film, and that's what I'm saying, right? CGI is another thing. Again, I think CGI has more of a little bit of a like 30% to 70% role. Yeah. I think that's like a happy medium.
Would you ever want to move into that role of making CGI?
So, you know, I think as an industry professional or somebody that wants to like work and make a living, and that's kind of the key there, is you have to adapt sometimes. So like even myself, I've started dabbling in a ZBrush and playing with 3D, sculpting, because again, it's adapting. You can like do some cool stuff with it and use it. There's some really cool people out there. There's an artist named Charlie Hernandez that's doing some like really, really impressive stuff with like the computer sculpting. And he's actually gotten to a point where he's printing molds and printing like the cores, putting them together and doing a lot of the stuff we do, you know, practically, but it's all printed now. It's a faster less process. Messy job. Yeah. Faster.
Do you think catching up is hard? From like, oh yeah, you gotta adapt, like you said, but then you also, do you ever feel like you're selling out when you start doing stuff like that, or do you feel like, like, this isn't what I wanted to fucking do, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, there's always that like sense of being a sellout, right? Like, if I went in and was like, well, let me just drop sculpting, then I really didn't have a passion for being a traditional sculptor. You know, I was just doing it to be in, and that's not it. Like, I think true like artists will never let go of their art, right? Like, I don't think a painter will ever drop a paintbrush. He might adapt and use, you know, tablets and draw three-dimensionally, but he's always going to send back to creating a canvas, you know, painted piece.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a question, but this one is from me actually.
Sure.
It's to you for him. If you could have him create anything that you've seen that he hasn't created yet, like a monster, a character, anything, what would it be? Like, what
do Jason you without a mask.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty sick. Yeah. I would think.
Only because it's like very detailed when you see it. Like he doesn't have the mask on. Maybe a little challenge, you know, which I know you could do, obviously, but I feel like that would be a little hard.
It's funny because, like, most people, that's what they resort to, right? And that's the struggle of being, you know, someone that makes art is, like, people want the known characters. You know how many times people are probably asking for Jason, you know, Freddy, like, the, you know, the classics. They're in there asking for those kind of things. But we want to create stuff that we haven't seen or done a million times, you know. Like,
or just your own imagination, bring it to life.
And there's always that, and that's something else like we could talk about, right? Is it worth continuously remaking, you know, a character? Like, we've seen Friday the 13th remade how many times, right? And you have people come in like Rob Zombie and continue to remake things.
That's a good point you bring up. I was thinking about that. Do you want to be like the franchise guy of like horror movies and makeup and stuff like that, where like, okay, you did like 10 fucking Friday the 13th movies, or do you rather be like the cult classic guys, like the Killer Clowns from Outer Space guy, the Fright Night guy, like shit like that, like the Evil Dead kind of shit, where it's like, more of a niche audience, but it's like a big community, you know?
Yeah.
What would you rather be like?
God, knock on wood. Like, I don't want to be the guy that plays out a movie and continues to make sequels because it's generating money. Like, it has to make sense. It's got to be something that's going to be cool.
That's where the selling now comes in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah. How many times do you keep doing something because you know it's going to work versus you do it because you love it, you know?
Yeah, and I think you've got to find the balance, right? You'll know, I think, as a writer, a director, an artist, like, you'll know when, all right, enough's enough, like, it's no longer cool. And I think if you're doing it just because, oh, well, it's selling, then that's where you cross that line of being a sellout, where you don't think it's cool, but you're still making it because it's, you know, it's selling.
Yeah. That's what's going on, right? Like, oh, The Walking Dead is real big, so now there's like 10 fucking zombie shows and they all suck, you know?
Yeah, and I love The Walking Dead, you know, like Greg Nicotero and the team did a great job. Yeah. There's a company that does, they're called KNB Effects, and they've done a majority of them.
Yeah,
fucking awesome, right? Like, the effects in there are always great, but like, watching 10 seasons of zombies is can only lot. Get you so far.
Yeah. But, you know, I always still pop for the makeup part. Like,
because
in the show, The Walking Dead, it's cool when in the first season, the zombies are fresher, you know?
You were saying that they were all...
It just happened recently.
What's called? Yeah, they were all painted.
And then later on, like, they rot more because, like, you know, dead bodies decompose.
Yeah.
And then, like, in, like, season 10, like, the walkers, they call them walkers. They don't call them zombies, fun fact. They never mention the word zombies in The Walking Dead universe. Yeah. They don't exist in that universe, zombies. They call them walkers. And then, like, later on, like, they're more fucking rotten. Their fucking faces are falling off. They smell more. Like, it's fucking cool. It's worth watching it just for that, honestly.
Yeah, it is cool. Yeah, and I'm never going to knock it. Like, I love the Walking Dead franchise. Like,
yeah, me too.
I think it's great. But how far are you going to get before you're now, like, just making fucking skeletons, like, twitching on the floor?
Yeah, that's the thing where they were like, oh, well, eventually the zombies are just going to decompose and they're not going to fucking be a threat. So then they make, like, they made a lot of shows already. There's The Walking Dead, there's Fear of the Walking Dead, there's The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, and then there's another one that they're making. So there's, like, 5 shows now. So I get what you mean. There could be an oversaturation of the market. What's another thing that you think suffered that fate in the industry where it was just oversaturated?
God, I hate to say it, but Star Wars.
Ooh, okay.
I love Star Wars, and I think there's, like, great stories to tell there, but it gets to a point, like, now, like, I think they just made a series where it's supposed to connect more with, like, kids and stuff like that, and it's like...
You think J.J. Abrams kind of shit the bed with those, with the Star Wars that he made?
It's rocky. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I think the one part I hate from that, one of the newer movies was when she's flying out of the ship because the ship crashed, and now she's, like, flying back to the ship.
Yeah,
and
I'm like,
in what world does that make sense? I guess she has a force, but, like, I don't know. It gets a little rocky, you know?
Yeah. The Rey Skywalker character is very controversial, where, like, you either love her or you, like, hate her.
Yeah, but, I mean, they did something that, you know, a lot of people want to see. They brought it back, and, you know.
They did bring it back, honestly. They did, and there was buzz. And we've talked about it before where it's, like, it's one of those things that even though people hate it, it's like, oh, I hate it, but I'm going to fucking watch it.
But it's one of those things like, done right, great, you know, but you start selling out little and doing things that, like, just to make some money, it's...
Dude.
Yeah.
You know what I fuck with so heavy? I think you should make stuff from The Witcher 3, The Witcher video game franchise.
Yeah.
I think, like, the water hags are fucking nasty creatures and, like... The Griffins and all that shit, like...
Yeah, the series is great, too. I don't know if you saw the Witcher series.
Yeah, the series is... I'm not a big fan of it, honestly, really? Mr. Gray, but I fucking love... You know I love The Witcher 3, you know?
Yeah, you
And I told you this, like, oh, Grayson should do a Leshen, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, all these creatures and, like... Fuck, man. But now I guess that's the cool thing is now you're fucking even more all in.
Oh, yeah. See, the best part is that, I can always, like, recreate these characters that are out there, but I want to be in there and continue to make characters for, like, some of these guys that are trying to make their own stuff, and then also work on making my stuff, because...
That is true, right?
Yeah.
I guess you can get, like, a million requests, but it's also, like, hey, like, you are the CEO, owner of Grey Corps Effects, where it's like, yeah, you maybe do want to pay tribute to all the classics and the shit that everybody knows, but... I can get on your side while you're like, well, I'm going to make my shit too.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, is that something you've been focusing on more?
Absolutely. So lately I've been doing a lot of writing, and it's been a lot of fun too. And it's just one of those things, like it's just coming to me quick, you know, and not everything's a great idea. And I get that. So I have a book of ideas that really cool guy actually gave me a book of ideas. Really awesome. If I could share that at some point, I will. But more than anything, it's been really fun getting in there and like designing these stories and hoping like, all right, somebody's going to see this one day and go, wow, this is creative. This is different. And that's what I'm looking for. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
I think one of the last movies that was maybe not really horror, but that was really different in my era, I guess, was Get Out. I thought that was like a big fucking different movie where it wasn't a ghost. It wasn't Paranormal Activity. It wasn't zombies. It was like the whole like organ transplant shit and that mind control shit, the hypnosis. I fucking love that shit. Did you watch that movie?
I didn't.
Badass.
I didn't.
It's badass. We watched it in Vegas.
Yeah, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I really watched that so long ago.
Yeah. I love all that shit because it goes into... I love that. And that's why I kind of like the Purge movies, because there's a lot of social commentary behind them. You know, rich people get away with shit. Rich people get to fucking destroy lives of regular people for their benefit. And, like, you know, like, in The Purge, like, if you're a poor person, you're fucked during The Purge. Like, you're free game for anyone. And if you're a rich person, you have badass security and you have metal doors. And, like, and I love the social commentary behind The Purge movies and also Get Out, where it's, like, it's just about, like, rich old men, like, kidnapping people and, like, taking their body parts that they need. Like, there's a blind guy.
Yeah.
And they do auctions and they, like, it's fucking crazy, bro. You should definitely watch it. And I think it's one of those things where, like you said, it's new. And it's good. Because anything could be new, right?
Yeah.
I can come up with rabbit fucking dick monsters. Like, that's new, but it's not good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, but you're right. There is still room for good shit, new shit.
There is. And there's people that are, like, really, you know, putting their best foot forward and trying stuff. I don't know if you guys saw The Substance.
I did not see The Substance.
No. It's basically a, like, movie where a girl wants to stay young, so this company offers this serum to keep you young.
Oh, it's cool. It's everywhere on Twitter, and like it's blowing up.
It's super cool, and there's a lot of people that don't like the ending of it, and honestly, like, it's one of those, like, you're gonna take it with a grain of salt and like it or you're not, because I personally loved it because I knew what they were doing. They were trying to pay homage to, like, you know, the classic 80s horror gore style, you know, and I thought it was, like, really cool. But if you watch it, the storyline of being creative and trying to do something different was definitely there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Your AI question, there's a movie directed by Stanley Kubrick, rest in power, great director. The Space Odyssey one, have you seen that one?
No.
Ah, fuck. So they're all, like, astronauts, and they're all in space. And there's an AI that controls. It's like a Siri, you know, like, hey Siri, like, it's like that, and like,
oh shit.
And there a lot of shit happens, and then, like, in the end, like, the character's trying to, like, turn it off, and then, like, that's the big thing where it's like, what are you doing? I'm afraid I can't let you do that, and like the AI just goes into business for himself. It's like a fucking
Black Mirror.
Do you like
Kubrick stuff.
Movies?
They're pretty good. It's funny, Black Mirror stuff is like in that, like, niche of just creating random shit you think might happen as a possibility, and then they really, like, make it fucked up.
Yeah. The Black Mirror stuff is cool. It's kind of like a give or, like, one episode might be good, one episode might be trash. Kind of like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's really good, hit or miss, really bad. But they're doing it, and that's kind of the whole thing, right? Is get out there and do it. Like, if you don't, you know, somebody else will. Why not you put out some cool shit?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, coming into a new film that you're recording right now, or not recording, fucking
pre-production
filming. Yeah. What's called? What kind of, not monsters you're involving, but I could say maybe, what are you doing differently from the other people in the past that you're doing right now? Like, say, are we going to see something different here? Or what are you focusing? So we're saying, oh, you don't want to focus on monsters or keep the same thing. Like, what are we going to see different from here than the past, the previous?
I wouldn't say, you know, different in the sense of I'm going to put some, you know, creatures and characters in there. I use the word creatures loosely because it's some crazy stuff, right? But
yeah, obviously we don't want to spoil everything.
But definitely, you know, getting an interesting story out there. And for me, I think the biggest thing is getting people to feel as they watch things, right? Like, and I'll give you an example. Have you guys ever, you know, heard something and it gives you that sense of, like, deja vu? It brings you back to, like, a core memory.
Yeah,
like, just stuff like that. Like, I want to trigger senses when I make my film, so that's kind of what I'm really aiming at is when writing these, you know, scripts or these stories, I'm trying to find, all right, how is the audience going to react to this? And what am I really trying to get them to feel during this, you know, part? So,
yeah. What are you trying to get them to feel?
Well, it's horror. So yeah, afraid, so horror, anxious, fear, you know, yeah, chills, disgust, grotesque, yeah, like all of it. And yeah, like the movie title, Squick, right? So if you don't know what Squick is, look it up. There's a definition for it. That's exactly what I'm going for.
Yeah, yeah. Squick. So for the loyal listeners, you guys know that we went to HorrorCon this year to support our boy, Mr. Gray, his new film that he's doing. What's that like, man? Like now you're writing a screenplay. Now that's fucking different, because now you gotta not only make the monsters, which we know you're good at, we know you can do, you've done it before, but now you gotta have characters that people care about, characters that people care if they live or die, characters that maybe people want to see get fucked up by something horrible. Yes. Right. Yeah. Now you gotta get people invested, because it's not a 20-second TikTok, it's not an Instagram post, it's gonna be a fucking movie where people are gonna have to digest all of it and feel something afterwards, like you said. What's, yep, what's that process like?
So, and it's funny because I'm going through it right now because we're storyboarding for the film. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you saw I posted that. But that's really fun too, because you can now put it on paper and picture, you know, what you're trying to do. So there's a few scenes that I'm working on where it's supposed to make you cringe and make you feel really bad for the character. So, no, you know, I'm not trying to give out spoilers or anything, definitely, you know, how am I going to get through to you? What kind of a character can I create that's going to be something that you react to? Like, oh, my God, like, man, imagine if that happened to, you know, this person I really care about or this creature I really care about, right? So
you're responsible for everything, like we said, the characters and stuff, right? The best shows, the best movies, they have cool characters.
Yeah.
And people care what happens to Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead, you know? People care about what happens to, you know, like all the characters in these iconic movies, like it's just who's gonna live, who's gonna die, right? So I guess have you read your script to anyone? Have you given it to anyone?
Just a few people, but it's funny because scripts will change, you know, and especially storyboarding. And my favorite part about, you know, adapting to adjusting a script or a storyboard or whatever, right, screenplay, is meeting, like, potential actors. Because you meet the actor and you're like, oh, okay, and, like, this person will play this. But now getting to know their personalities, sometimes their personalities are so cool, you're like, I have to incorporate it into, you know, the script. So that's also a fun...
Just going to that later on, maybe, would you want to be fully in... Not selling yourself out, but now just going more into, like, production and later on be a director, become a director. I don't think that would be selling out, but, like,
you
would want to try that now, like, later on full time.
I think I definitely want to just keep on this path, and as long as it's fun, right, I'll keep going. If it becomes to a point where this isn't fun anymore, like, I think it's going to show in the films, and I don't want to do that.
Right? Obviously.
Like, again, I think it's another way of, like, selling out in a sense. But as long as it's fun, I'm going to keep going. Like you guys said, I started drawing, went to sculpting, you know, did some painting, do some makeup now, starting to write some films. Like, wherever this takes me, I'm just going to keep going. But as a kid, like, it was always my dream to be a part of movies and the movie industry. Yeah. Like, I know my, like, siblings and, you know, family always saw them and were really supportive of it. And my friends, right? Mm-hmm. Most of my friends, like, you guys, you're always a part of it somehow, some way, and it's always been fun. So I just want to keep that going.
Yeah, that's sick, man. With the whole movie process, when you're writing, do you write it with specific actors in mind to that script, or do you just write the characters as best as you can and then worry about that casting later, or how do you do that?
It depends, right? Like, in some instances, I'm writing or creating a story and I think of someone like, oh, wow, that person would actually, like, do a great job with this. And I'll talk to them, and if they're, like, fully, like, gung-ho on it, then they'll be a part of it and the story kind of adapts as it goes.
Isn't that crazy, like, those stories that you hear where, like, Martin Scorsese had an overdose of cocaine and he almost died, and then Robert De Niro made him make Raging Bull, and that fucking brought Martin Scorsese back.
Oh shit.
And then, like, or you hear stuff like Quentin wrote Django with Will Smith in mind instead of Jamie Foxx. Will Smith didn't want to do it because of the whole, like, slavery plot I guess it didn't bode well with him, and then boom, Jamie Foxx knocks it out of the park.
Like, yeah,
isn't
yeah.
that fucking crazy?
Yeah, and then right? you got productions like, you
said, scripts change, shit changes, not yeah. just the script, but yeah.
Well, look at like Adam Sandler movies, right? They have the same cast like almost all the time, yeah, yeah, and yeah, all yeah. his fucking movies are just awesome. Like he's just got yeah. like they've got it down, and I think that's possible too, where you just have a great group of people and can continue to like create
I
magic.
Agree with you, as long as it's not too formulaic. Also,
yeah,
sometimes true. You can tell when it's so-and-so movie, when it's like, oh, this is just another movie of like, oh, it's this guy again that plays the same character,
you know? Right. Later on, how would you want people to remember your films, now that I guess I'm on such that where like people do remember like certain films
yeah.
from the director, like they know right away, or like Red Apple Cigarettes with Quentin, like how would you want people like to well, view your films later on?
I'm hoping people get triggered, right? Like where they yeah. see something and think back like, oh, I remember, you know, that, or like
the first yeah. time they saw that in the theater.
This yeah. this film that I'm working on is like based on tattoos, so I want it to be where like people see a tattoo and kind of cringe a little bit because
think about it now.
Yeah, a scene. Like, in
I don't
the
want
film.
A tattoo.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah. So that's my goal. Like yeah. ultimately, is how do I get you to react? You know, outside of the film.
Yeah, that's sick, man. Another thing, would you, if you had a magic wand right now, would you do the big Netflix thing, or it, for you, it's like a must? You got to see your shit on the big screen in a movie theater.
I mean, it's always like everyone's dream, I think, to have like their name on the big screen, yeah. right? But I think more than anything, like you said, I want to have something out there that stays like timeless.
Yeah,
you know,
timeless. Yeah.
You can watch this 20 years from now because there's plenty of movies out there. I brought yeah. one like today. It's called Slaughter High.
Yeah.
But I keep going back to it because it's a really old movie. It's just a straight gore high school movie with yeah. a gesture. But everything's so creepy and I'll never forget it. Right. It's timeless, yeah. you know, to me. So as long yeah. as I can create something that is cool and ends up in like that timeless field, like I'll be extremely
maybe
happy.
Keeping it like for forever. Would you want to put your reality and films onto a book later on too as well, or a comic or a magazine?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, as I'm writing, I'm thinking too, because making a film is expensive. Like yeah. just doing the HorrorCon promo costs like a ton of money. Like, you know, I invested a lot to get that done.
Even this shit.
Yeah. So but I knew that like doing Squick, I was gonna invest money, and it was gonna be my tester of getting into the industry and putting something out there, you know. So it's gonna be pricey, but I've already had thoughts of like maybe not everything has to be a film. I might start writing books. Or
Walking Dead was a
comic books. Like
yeah, that's not like, yeah, a lot of.
Yeah,
people, or even like us as kids, a lot of us were so into Goosebumps or Animorphs,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
R.L. Stein.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, yeah, I love that stuff. I'm a huge comic book guy, so comic book probably would might be the first thing that I would try, you know. But
that'd be cool. I mean,
yeah, it's because
you
so
still
much
get
fun.
Images there, you know, where right. people like could still if they. They can still imagine the character and see him right there, you know?
Yeah, and I love working with other artists. I love collabing. Like, there's plenty of talented people out there. I don't have to do everything myself. You know, I can outsource and, hey, you know, work with this person, make sure they get paid and put it into production. So it's all on the table yeah. right now, and that's what's fun, right? So.
What's one actor you would want to want you to be in your films or star in your films, be the main guy?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of, like, great people out there.
Do you think actors, horror actors, or just in general, like you know?
I feel like in general, I would say.
I think in general, you know, but I haven't even thought that far ahead. Yeah. You know, I'm more thinking
like
about.
It's like a fun question.
Yeah, I'm more thinking about. Hey, I wonder if my buddy would be a part of this. Like,
yeah.
I'm not. Like, would he say
yes?
Do
this
no?
for a Burger King meal? Yeah, yeah,
maybe not that.
I would.
Yeah, but I haven't really, you know, gotten to that point where thinking like I will work with these big people someday. I know I have that like sense of if I could work on a film, what would it be? And I'll say like. Right up front that it's probably going to be some kind of DC Comics film because I love DC. Yeah. Marvel's cool too, but DC's
they
definitely,
try more shit.
Yeah, DC's yeah. got some really cool stories in there. I think if I could do one, I would do the Scarecrow.
Yeah,
because yeah. there's so much like stuff, cool stuff.
The fear
you can
gas,
do
that.
Exactly.
That kind of goes into nightmares.
Right,
and stuff
right.
Like that.
So like,
yeah.
if I ever got the rights or if I had the opportunity to direct a film, it'd probably be Scarecrow for DC Comics.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Scarecrow's fucking sick.
Yeah.
He has like a fear gas.
Yeah.
He's a crazy like therapist. He's a Batman villain.
Yep.
And he has what he calls fear gas, and like it makes you fucking hallucinate your most horrible fears. And yeah, and like there's different renditions of Scarecrow. There's the Arkham Knight one, right. The video game one, where he has like a fucking rag, and then just a rag with some holes, and like he looks fucking dirty, and like he looks gross. And then there's like the Scarecrow in the Batman Begins movie when it's played by Cillian Murphy, who was in he played Oppenheimer. He's the main guy in Oppenheimer. He played Scarecrow. And yeah, there's a lot of renditions and shit. So yeah. I guess that's where the artist in you comes out, where you're like, fuck, if I'm on the driver's seat of this character, yeah. I would do it my way.
And that's
it
would be this exactly. Thing, right? And that's like,
that's awesome.
If I could get that, that would be like the epitome for me. That's like,
so okay, that's I've your made magnum it. Opus. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks. That's his fucking goal. And you yeah. also heard it here. Off Topic Podcast will be starring in Grey Corpse Effects new movie.
We haven't agreed to that, but
yeah, just, you guys will.
We'll yeah. be in it. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, man. Well, I have fucking a lot more questions, big dog.
Yeah, because, let's go.
We fucking got a lot of good responses with this shit right here.
We're man. Out of beer, but let's keep going.
We're not out of beer. You want another one?
Yeah, I'll take one.
Hell yeah, bro. Yeah, let's do it.
So if people were really into it, I guess we do have a lot of horror fans. So, I mean, they took the time and wanted to take advantage of this opportunity to ask you some questions
that yeah, Coba has right yeah, there. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, definitely. Do you find having influence on future artists important in your career, or do you find it best to just focus on yourself? Because I feel like, before I answer the question, there's generational talent in anything, right?
Yep.
From any fucking athletes, whatever, right? Like, polarizing figures. We love pro wrestling. Like, people are fucking becoming wrestlers because they saw Hulk Hogan wrestle, because they saw The Rock wrestle, Ric Flair wrestle. That's generational talent, where you're affecting the next generation of performers. Yeah. So is that something you think about? Is it important to you? Do you just focus on yourself, or what's going on?
Well, yeah, it's extremely important. But I, like I said, everything has a right way of doing things and a wrong way. I would never put myself in a position to teach someone else where I don't feel confident, you know, myself. You know, like if I ever took that role of teaching or mentoring, like I would make sure that I felt great about what I was doing. Everyone has a different way of doing things, right? But I always feel like it's in the person to make sure that they're putting their best self into being a mentor or a teacher, and that the person learning or taking that information is learning from a great source, you know? Yeah. So I would love to teach maybe in the future someday, but as of right now, I just want to focus on, you know, continuing to grow yeah. and learn myself.
Yeah, definitely. When you're still on that grind, I guess it's hard to, like, bring people with you. Maybe right. it's not even you gatekeeping knowledge or
yeah. methods. Yeah, I mean, it works. I've worked with some people that want to, like, try things or learn a little, and I don't mind being that, but when it gets to a point where they're like, well, you know, can you teach me how to do this, or I'm trying to become great at this, I'll start referencing them to, like, hey, there's plenty of people out there, like plenty of great schools like MUD and Cinema Makeup. There's great special effects, like learning facilities like Stan Winston that you yeah. can pick up from. So I would never take that role until I felt comfortable, yeah. you know, being able to give them what they're looking for.
Besides the teaching part.
Yeah.
I also mentioned, like, influencing people to want to do the art. Do you think about that? Like, maybe not teaching them one by one, but, like, do you think that, like, maybe one day someone's gonna fucking be like, oh, I saw that fucking movie and now I want to make movies like
that? Oh yeah,
is that important to you? Do you care about it, or is you just so not thinking about that? Or
I think, yeah, and it goes along with, like, I want to make cool shit, and if my cool shit inspires other people to make cool yeah. shit, like, that's great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They found my shit, guys. I'm arrested.
They're gonna shut us down now. Yeah,
I never. Yeah, yeah. But nah, I feel you, dude. I kind of get what you mean with the teaching. Like, sometimes the best advice, not to make it about us, we get advice too. We're like, oh, like, I want to do a podcast, blah blah blah. Like, what do I do? Or like, blah blah blah. It's like, you just gotta fucking do it. As cliche and as annoying as that fucking is.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it. Or watch it and right. learn from it, right? It's like, how interested are you? You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of on you, you know? That's yeah. that's how kind of I see it a little bit.
Yeah, that's I think half the battle is, yeah, get out there and do it, right? But then there's a lot of, like, core things you need to definitely make sure you have is, like, know the tools you need. Because I'm sure as you've grown, like, you were like, damn, I wish we had this. Like, even just this mixer, right?
Yeah.
Wish we had this, like, early on in the podcast.
Yeah, we,
like,
talked about the setup. Wow. I thought I was missing shit, and then he was like, no, that was the old shit.
Yeah, because back then we would have like three bags or whatever. Now it's just two.
But if you have like good shit to work with, you're gonna get better. Like that's just how it goes. Yeah. Right? Like I've grown as an artist to know that I can't skimp out and get this cheap like airbrush system. I've got to like invest a little because it puts out good quality.
And yeah,
what people want is good quality. Nobody's attracted to bad quality, right?
No, definitely.
It might look cool at some kind of like fair or event as you're walking by, but
they call it.
Yeah, but that's not like gonna get you great stuff out there, you know?
Yeah. Do you think like I guess that's what you're saying, like image is important, right? Like how does your art look? How do you fucking make it? Do you make it with the best shit? I guess it goes a long way with like, okay, this guy's serious about it.
Yeah, because if you're someone that wants to consider themselves professional, then you should act that way, right? You should definitely like invest in your tools. You should have a clean setup. Like, would you ever go to a hospital if the entrance was like all fucked up and the emergency signs hanging down?
Probably not.
The same with like the industry and your niche, right? It doesn't just have to be sculpting, makeup, art, right? It doesn't have to be podcasting. It could be anything, right? As long as you're investing and keeping it as professional and high quality as you can.
He's big on that, on the look, right? Yeah. You're big on the presentation.
On the presentation, the first appearance matters. Right. Yeah, it definitely does matter a lot, obviously.
And I get it. You know, like, not everyone has the resources to do it right away, but...
No, I mean, just, like, even like us, like, we didn't fucking start with...
And you get excited, you know? Right? We get excited. We want to get in it and do it. And I highly encourage people to do it. But always spend that time when you can start investing. If you're serious about something, you know, save up. Do what you got to do to invest in yourselves and in your equipment to provide a better quality.
Yeah, definitely.
What's one mistake you see from a lot of artists do when they're starting in their first steps or in the beginning process?
You know, I'm guilty of it too, but I think a lot of people want to put their work out there and get in everyone's faces, right?
All right.
And I think like that's not the best way to go about it, right? I think definitely meet the people that inspire you and try to learn from them and grow, and understand that you're still learning and growing, right? There will be a time and a place where you will get to do what you want to do. And let me tell you, I started the same way and I never thought I was going to get to where I was at. And I'm very grateful for like how far I've come, you know, and what I'm doing. So like you will get there. You just got to, you know, one step back a little, focus on, you know, your talents and growing and practicing, and eventually you'll get there, you know?
Yeah. Is the business a little cutthroat? You mentioned working with artists and it sounds like you have a positive view on that.
Yeah.
And like your memories and your experiences with it have been good. Is that common throughout the industry or is it cutthroat or like
I don't know. You're gonna learn as you go too, right? Again, you're gonna make your mistakes, you're gonna learn, you know, different people. I think the only thing I can tell you for that is make sure you value yourself. And if you're not comfortable with something, you feel like something's wrong, it probably is wrong. You know, take a second opinion, step back, and then, you know, go back into it.
Yeah, okay, for sure. I always wonder just how, like, for example, with podcasting, it's kind of a lot, at least, like, in that stage where we're at, where, like, people know who we are, you know? It is kind of a little bit, well, you're on your own a little bit, you know? Yeah. So I was just wondering how that is with you. But it sounds like you guys have, like, good experiences with working with people.
There's a lot of, you know, that's what's awesome, I feel like, in our industry, in the horror industry, everyone's so, like, fucking cool. Like, everyone's nice. I've never met anybody that's not been like nice or foregoing when they meet you,
or
you know?
Stealing ideas too from other artists.
I mean, honestly, that it happens a lot, and there's a lot of people obviously that are learning and they're, you know, inspired by something. You can do that, you can, but always credit the artist, right? Credit the person you're taking some inspiration from. Like, don't just go in cutthroat. Hey, look at this, you know, Jason mask I made, and you completely copied it from somebody else. You know?
Yeah, totally. Are you a little protective of that shit like that, that you got in the works?
Not with, I think, my sculpting and that kind of stuff, because I feel like, you know, our art is art, and it's there's a lot everyone. Of parallelism out there where people will, like, make something similar, and, you know, there's a lot of fuzzy areas where, hey, I made that first, but, you know, not so much that, but with the writing, I know I'm very cautious now, and the one thing I hate is when I tell somebody something I'm working on, and they're like, oh, that sounds like this, and I'm like, fuck. Right, so now I'm like, all right, I gotta go
now
watch
you're like,
it.
I might not even tell people what you're working on.
Yeah, so sometimes I'll just ignore and just keep going. Right, like whatever. Like I didn't even think about them. I don't know who they are. Let me just keep going. Let me make this the way I envisioned it. And
that's funny though.
Yeah,
it reminds me of that South Park episode. The Simpsons already did it, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna block out the sun, and then he goes, Simpsons did it. it's the episode where Mr. Burns tried to block out the sun. And it's like, yeah. Fuck, what did the Simpsons do, you know?
Yeah, they've done it all, too.
Yeah, yeah, so I guess, I mean, you get hit with that where, like, sometimes you don't want to hear it. Like, oh, this reminds me of this. You're like, fuck. You know, like.
Yeah, that's the worst. Like, hey, fucking appreciate what I did,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, that shit's hilarious, man.
Yeah.
I got a little fun question here. We have mentioned you on the podcast before. Either we always call you Mr. Gray.
Many times.
Or sometimes we just say, hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah, yeah. So,
no. And I never noticed I did that up until you guys started doing that. Yeah, and it sucks because every time I say it now, that's all I hear.
What? Yeah. So I got a fun question right here from my friend Andy. He said, hey, guys, I see that you guys have mentioned Mr. Gray many times before. What was Mr. Gray's first memories and thoughts of you guys when he first met you guys? Mm-hmm. Like, what did you think it was?
Well,
it worked and shit, or yeah, like at work or whatever. What did you think? Like,
well, it's really funny because, like, my first memory of, like, H Dog, we call him, right?
Yeah,
is he was the guy that wouldn't stop working. He'll keep going and grinding until he feels like he can. I always had to kick him out of working.
Yeah, he did. So I thought he was a bully. I was like,
dude, get out of here, man. You have a life. This is back when I believed people had lives, right?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I was like, go home.
You were younger, too.
Yeah. So that's the stuff I remember about him. And then with Koba over here, it was always like, he wanted to be in the mix of things. Like, he was out there grinding. He was trying to, like, beat the people that were out there. And for me, that was, like, passion. So I was like, all right, this guy's a passionate guy. He wants to, like, really grind. Like, I need to, you know, link up with this guy.
Yeah, well, thank you, Papa. I really appreciate it. And you know what's funny is I'm going to call you out a little bit right now.
Oh, no, here we go.
You're calling him out for being the workhorse that you had to kick out. Fuck, man.
Well, he had a chance still.
I remember fucking
working. High escape prison.
I remember working with you fucking 12 hours a fucking day.
16.
He wouldn't give you no option, huh?
He wouldn't give me options because I didn't have a car. Real listeners know
this never happened.
Real listeners know I fucking got my license really late in life because I was a fucking idiot. And, basically, I was fucked because he'd be like, oh, could you help me with this, man? And I'd be like, ah, fuck. Like, nah, I don't have a ride. And he'd be like, I'll take you home. And I'd be like,
fuck. Has he got free lunch?
No, that's not what I said. I was like, don't worry. I'll get you an Uber.
I'll get you an Uber, yeah. I'll take you home or whatever. And I was like, fuck.
I remember.
Now I got to stay. And I'm just, like, at a Jack in the Box at 6 in the morning, and I'm pissed off, you know?
Yeah. I mean, but, like, no doubt, like, in all of us, right? And that's why I like, you know, having you guys around is you guys have that attitude of, we're going to do what needs to be done. We're going to get it done. And we're going to get ourselves to where we need to be. Yeah. And that's the difference with a lot of people that try things and they never make it and then they complain, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't want to put in the work. You don't want
to
grind.
He's been hearing a lot of that shit where, I mean, like, not to get into really personal details, but
yeah,
where he hears it a lot where we're at working together, like, oh, you work too hard. Or don't do more than what you get paid for. And, like, you kind of hate that, huh?
I do, because, like, to me, it's like, okay, so if I never work hard, where do you expect me to go, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
people... Or, like, can I really have these big dreams and not work hard? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't know how people
are underestimate that.
Yeah, there's a lot of comfort.
You know, and that's okay. Like, everyone has their right to be the way they want.
True,
like,
not everybody has to be a fucking...
You shouldn't be offended because somebody's working. Yeah,
celebrity millionaire. Nobody has to fucking... It's not forced to have one specific life, obviously. Everybody has different paths in life, but
yeah, like it's funny. Like, you watch all those people that'll see somebody, like, let's just say, post something, right? And they'll be like, "Oh, why are they doing that? Like, it's so stupid. They're just trying to get attention." Like, dude, leave them alone. Like, they're trying to do their thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I appreciate
it or don't move on.
I've heard some shit too. Where, like, oh, those guys with a fucking podcast, and it's like, dude, like, you fucking, your life is fucking retail or whatever the fuck it is you do. Like yeah, I'd rather be the podcast guy than, like, somebody's bitch, you know? That's how I fucking see it.
Yeah.
And not just in our line of work, in general, right? Like, people are like, oh, I'm sure you've heard it, like, oh, look at this fucking guy with his fucking mask.
No,
the
thing I hear is, oh, look at the guy playing with his Play-Doh, you know? Fucking assholes. I think it's funny.
It's funny, but it's also like, you look at those people and you're like, fuck, well, what do you do? Like, you know, like, you're just a fucking another guy that's like obsessed with football or some shit. You know?
Everyone has their thing, and just enjoy it. You know, don't shit on other people's happiness. Yeah, you know?
It's also funny to shit on people sometimes.
If you're doing it comically,
sometimes I really see like some really bad, like, oh, I'm a singer now, like, oh, whoa, like that.
But they're bad too.
Yeah, some people I'm like, hey, you're pretty fucking bad at this. You know, like I feel like we're all good at what we do.
Too many pauses, you know.
Yeah. Like I've seen, like I've been, man. Do you ever like get hit up by people that like you don't really like fuck with their art or the stuff they do?
Look,
and you're like trying not to be a dick. You don't have to say names.
It looks cool.
There's always competition, and they'll never say it, right?
Is this Chucky?
There's always those kinds of people. There's always drama. It is what it is. You know, just embrace it. And for me, like the way I see it is cool. That's another person like pushing the art. Like for me, that's the biggest thing is that I want to get more people excited about this stuff. Like how many people know nowadays, like, yeah, actual hands made that, not some fucking computer, you know?
Like, yeah, but I'm saying, like, have you ever been hit up by someone and then they like they want to do a collab and you're like, fuck, I don't really like what you do.
And you know, they might not even you don't like what they do. It's like they haven't even been in the long journey like you have, you know? Don't you find like some disrespect?
No,
I don't know if you have you encountered
like,
that?
I think because I was that guy, you know, trying to get in the industry and trying to meet people, like I always like pay some respect to newer people coming in. Like I'm never gonna be that guy that's gonna push someone away. I might not give them the world and yeah, like here's the secret sauce to everything. Yeah, but like definitely bring in and encourage, you know. Doesn't matter who you are.
You guys are a nice community. Yeah. I was expecting you to talk some shit. It happens with us sometimes. We're like, hey, like, do you want to be on? Can my cousin be on? Dude, one time, I'll never forget this shit. And I don't give a fuck. We got hit up by this guy. And he's like, oh, I have a company where I make a glass for bathroom doors. And I'm like, dude, like, just because he used to go to high school with us.
And yeah. it was in a very first, like, we were in our fifth episode.
Yeah, and I'm like, nah, I'm more like 40, I think.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and I was just like, bro, like that's cool, you know, but like who cares about glass, you know? Like,
it could have been some cool fucking glass. Have you seen glass art? There's some cool shit out there.
They're not in the business.
Yeah. We're not in the glass business, baby. Yeah. Unless it's fucking breaking it.
I get
real
that.
Real glass.
Like, sometimes I get like requests like, hey, can you make, and I'm just using something random. Like, can you make this Hello Kitty mask? Like, like, obviously, I'm going to think about it, you know, where are we at with the bills this month? And how much is this going to make me? But for the majority of it, I'd prefer to do cool shit. And luckily, I've been grateful. Like, I've had a great, like, form of support and some really awesome people out there. Like,
they are a nice community. Yeah. Right? We're over here. We're always, every episode, we're talking shit and stuff like
fuck
that.
Fuck this bitch.
We were on a podcast the other day, and then the guy, like, shout out to them. The guy was like, damn, this is the hate podcast.
Jeez.
And I was like, yeah, dude, I fucking hate everything, bro. Do you have a chip on your shoulder, bro? Be honest.
Chip, as far as?
Like, proving yourself and, like, I know you said you take shit with a grain of salt when people might, like, throw shade at you or stuff like that. But, like, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'm a little angry sometimes.
No, so, like, for me, again, I just feel grateful because there was moments where I reached out to people and I shouldn't have. Like, it was too soon. Like I said, you get, you know, get excited and you want to be out on the big screen day one, you know?
Yeah.
And they were really cool with their responses. So I haven't had that. I do have, like, here and there, I'm like, fuck, I see people doing cool shit I wish I could be doing. And sometimes things hold me back and I get that kind of envy. But I think everyone does, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I think it's some healthy envy.
Yeah, I mean, there has to be, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a little motivation.
Right.
Do you get a lot of requests to make masks?
Oh, yeah, all the time. And it's
funny. Like, do you make them? And if you do, like, what's one mask you hate doing and what's one mask you like doing?
So back when I used to make masks, like, to make money as far as just, like, selling masks, mm-hmm. my own designs and stuff like that, it was always, like, hey, can you make this clown mask? It was always clown mask, so I just made a generic clown mask, right? It was always clown mask. And people, I know, you can ask probably most sculptors and you ask them what the most common thing they ask for is, and it's a clown.
Do you ever get, like, freaky requests? Like, oh, my wife and I have a mask fetish. Like, could you make us masks?
There's been some weird shit I've worked on that I'm not super proud of, but it's, hey, art is art, right? It comes in all forms of fashions.
What's some weird shit? Name one that you're comfortable with.
I got to work with, you know, early on, I got to do some stuff with Eric Fox, and we did some trauma stuff with which was some really weird out there stuff. But it was like early on, I was still trying to learn.
What was it?
It was called Shakespearean Shitstorm. It's wild. If you have some time. It's basically like a really 80s kind of fun gore. Like there's a whole like well that flies over a ship and shits on everybody. It's like really out there kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There's been some weird stuff.
But we also know you don't do horror. You've also had a famous collab with Bearson, right?
Oh yeah.
You did a statue or
dude, that was fun. Yeah, and I love collaborating. You know, with whoever.
I helped with that.
Yeah. So yeah,
I did it. I sanded shit down. That's
no,
all I
and
do.
Honestly, again, that's the best part of like working in the industry is meeting all these other people that have creative ideas and you know and bringing it to life. Being a part of it is always like the fun part. Like he came to me and he was like, oh yeah, I want you to make me a statue. And I was thinking like, all right, it's going to be this little 6-inch, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay, like how big do you want it? And he's like, oh, let's make it 10 feet. And I'm like, oh, shit.
How was that contact with him?
Honestly, like I had been following him and I think I was going to Vegas one time and me and my girl saw that he was running to Vegas. We're like, oh, let's see if we see him. And we actually didn't get to catch him. But when I came back, he ended up passing up the road for me. I'm like, oh, let me see if I can meet him. So I drove up and he was right there. And I was
like, shit.
Yeah, I was like, hey, Bearson. There's a video out there of it. I posted it.
Yeah.
But he was really, really, like, fucking cool, really nice. And he's got, like, some really fucking, like, cool ideas. And generous guy. He did a lot of stuff for, like, the Cancer Foundation, autism, mental health, like, awareness. Oh, shit, like, there's a lot of good stuff that guy's doing. And he's cool, just a great guy all around.
I would never do that. Yeah, I would just do it for myself. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
He's awesome. We're
actually doing a Christmas drive this year. Yes, we'll have more details on that, like a toy drive and shit like that.
Yeah. So if you want to join in, too.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Help out. Yeah, absolutely. Like, and see, like, for me, too, I have some cool ideas coming out.
BB guns and shit.
I'll put that out there as I get closer.
Yeah, and speaking on, like, literally pulling up, on Grayson, on Bearson. You guys had a baby, it's Grayson. I want to commend you and compliment you on that, where, like, fuck, like, that's you shooting your shot with a collab where, like, you're literally, like, driving near someone to tell them about you.
Yeah, you know what's funny is...
Go ahead.
I didn't even, like, go in there with the headspace of, like, collabing. Like, I was just like, oh, I want to meet this guy. This guy's fucking cool, right? Like, and when I met him, I talked to him about, like, the horror stuff that I did. Like, he, like, instantly was like, oh, yeah, I want you to make me something. And you never know, right? So, like you said, shooting your shot in the sense of, like, just get out there.
Yeah.
Go talk to people.
You used to tell us stuff like that. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes your advice, when I speak about, like, having a chip on my shoulder and being angry and, like, whatever, sometimes your advice would kind of, like, fuck, like, I know what I'm doing. And, like, it would annoy me a little
bit. Because you want us to meet Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, why not? Like,
but all jokes aside, though, like, Eric would say some shit like, oh, you should fucking hit this guy up.
He'd
be like, hey, man, you should hit up John Lennon. And it's like, dude, he's been dead fucking 20 years. Nah, but all jokes aside, it's like, he was very big on, like, go fucking to this convention.
Go all in, basically.
Go meet people and go like that. And it's like, make a banner, do shit like that. And I would be like, fuck, man, like you don't understand, you know, I have bills to pay, I have shit to do, and like, and I'm being honest with you, man, and it's like, and I was like, dude, like, it kind of made me feel like I wasn't doing enough, and I didn't want to hear it, but you're right, man, like,
in a way, because, you know, there's still, like, an open gap, you know, for, like, a lot of opportunity to grow for us, so that's how, like, it was a little annoying, but then I was like, I know
it comes from a good place, because you're our fucking boy, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I used to get like super defensive about it and stuff like that. But now it's like, you are right. Like, we did the HorrorCon thing and, like, you know, that was cool. And like, we did the, you know, we interviewed Don Cheto at the Fairplex Pomona. Dude, we waited 8 hours in fucking 100-degree weather. Like, it fucking
what it
sucks,
takes,
you know? For a fucking 8-minute interview, bro.
Yeah.
But it's the most watched video on our YouTube. Thousands of views. It literally, like, is the most watched reel. It has, like, I think, like, 100,000 views on our
million.
Reels. Yeah, 1.6 million. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, and, like, that shit does pay off when you're like, man, well, I don't want to be annoying. Or I don't want to get rejected.
But I think that's also, like, the behind the scenes that people don't see, too, you know? Like, we have to experience that now as content creators.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, you can be annoying if you're that guy that's, like, constantly there. Like, hey, like, we're not doing this. Like, relax, you know?
Yeah,
but there's plenty of opportunities out there. And sometimes, don't think over the top. Like, find other collaborators, other, like, podcasts. You know, you guys did the stuff with Viva Shane Brown, stuff like that.
And you're right. So, like, I'm just giving you props where, like, that shit does work, you know? And I think for me, it was my pride where I was like, well, I don't want there to be some paper trail of someone ghosting me or telling me to fuck off. But now I'm like, well, I don't care. If you don't want to work with me on my merit, you can go fucking piss off a room. Just like, I don't move fucking on. Care. You know, and we move on. Yeah. So I felt like I had to tell you that now that we're face to face and we're finally doing it, right? And you're fucking focusing on this, right? There's a lot of there was a lot of times where you were trying to juggle a million fucking things at once. And I don't have to. And I remember that, Eric. I remember that Mr. Gray, where it was just like you wouldn't hear from him for months. And, you know, and then like you were like a fucking stranger.
Yeah.
And now we're it, baby. You know, we're in and we're finally fucking, you're
living a dream.
This is it. Yeah. And like I said, like you just never know how things come, right? You never know if you will make it unless you try. Like, I never thought I would be in the position I am now. And I'm so grateful, right? Like,
nice.
Honestly, it doesn't happen for everybody, but how would you know if that's you or not, right? Until you actually get out there and do it. And there's plenty of opportunities. There's plenty of collaborators. But you just have to know that you have something good and you need to go out there and push it.
Or something, just the right moment to, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, or just start doing it, yeah. So we're kind of nearing towards the end of this. I got a couple more stuff that we need to get out.
Sure.
I always like to end this. Not end it, but I always like to ask people that create stuff, whether it's content or what you do, what advice would you give to someone that wants to do what you do and they have not fucking started at all? What's the best piece of advice you could give?
So, like, in this industry, and it seems like it's not, you know, that big as it used to be, but there's definitely a lot of room out there. Like, you just don't know where you can take something. There's plenty of artists out there that are still, like, holding the ground of, like, practical effects. There's a big artist named Joel Harlow that's doing some fucking really cool stuff. They just did that, like, Christmas movie with The Rock. And
Oh, the red one?
Yeah. Like, and a lot of people don't like the storyline, but, dude, the practical effects, everything in there is fucking kick-ass. Oh,
red one had practical effects? Yeah.
It's fucking, like, so awesome. But if you're somebody that wants to, like, really get in there, like, obviously appreciate the art. Appreciate the people. Look for people that inspire you. If you have questions, ask those people. Most of the people, like I said, are really nice people, and they'll answer your question, right? If you get annoying, maybe not so much. But
there's a way to ask. Yeah, time and a place.
There's
right?
a time and a place, right? Yeah, and but it's a very welcoming industry. Get out there and do it. I do a lot of makeup stuff that's fun too, and it starts with like just getting out there and grabbing a paintbrush and so a small makeup kit, like, but very welcoming industry. Just get out there and do it.
Hell yeah, for sure, man. You got anything for Mr. Gray, brother?
Well, no, Mr. Gray, but I do want to thank you for giving us the time and the space to be on our podcast. I know it was a long waited episode for us and our supporters, so I appreciate that, sir.
Yeah.
And thank you as a friend too.
Yeah. You're a good guy. We're always, we're kind of like, I feel like we're kind of like young old men, you know? We're old school. We talk on the phone. We call each other.
We're old men.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, you are, not me.
Actually,
like,
one question.
Go ahead.
Is Off Topic going to be featured on the films?
I don't know. You know what's funny is you were talking about, right? And I'm like, how funny would it be to like bring some like kind of like Jay and Silent Bob vibes in? I don't
know. Yeah. Clerks. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that shit, yeah.
Why not have like a small comical piece? You never know, but I definitely can see you guys, you know, hopping out with something on the film. So.
Hell yeah. Yeah, he's big on that.
We're willing to help. So just, you know, that Off Topic Podcast is willing to be supportive for Great Corpse Entertainment. Great Corpse FX.
Yeah.
But thank you guys, you know, everyone watching, you know, clearly if you made it through this whole fucking video, you're fucking awesome. And
then, yeah, they did make it. Honestly, you're really good at this.
Oh, I fucking was nervous.
I was worried you wouldn't be. I knew you wouldn't.
I get it nervous before, but our guests always have a blast.
This huge passion, you know, to try to encourage others to do it, like, and you know, if you have questions you want to ask, feel free to reach out to me. I'm that guy too. Like, I'll get you your grant.
Tell them where they can find you on social media. Plug your shit, baby.
I have pretty much everything at this point. So Instagram at Great Corpse FX, TikTok at Great Corpse FX, YouTube at Great Corpse.
Ooh.
Yes, and you can find us at Off Topic Podcast 34 on Instagram, and we will put Great Corpse Effects on our story. We'll shout it out. This will be out on Monday, 5 a.m. on major platforms. Real listeners know that. You don't, because you don't listen all the time. Rude. So, yeah, definitely, man. All right, guys. Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate it, brother. I'm Koba the Gorilla.
And I am H.
And you are?
Gray Corpse FX.
And we're out.